properly. What are you?
So I've got Joan, Tier, and
John.
John. And I'm Gary from Barnick. And I think we're going to get James to tell us what he likes about geocaching.
Yeah, so James is 10.
I'm not leaving me.
And James is... Tell everyone what your geocaching name is.
Oh, I named it after my rabbit.
What is it?
Maxie.
But your proper full geocaching...
Oh, my geocaching name is Fluffy Maxie.
Yeah, Fluffy Maxie. Do you ever take him out with you when you...
No.
So you're not going to, like, train him to sniff out the
no.
plastic containers? You could start something. You'd have the first rabbit detecting geocacher.
Yeah, no, we might add him.
Can't pick him up. He runs away.
Yeah.
he's not real tame.
He's not tame at all. But we might add him to the Geopets trail at one stage. We haven't actually done that one yet, but we have talked about that, haven't we?
Yeah.
Put in a cache for Maxie. That's do you know that one? That's out, I think it's out past, you know, Murray Bridge, Tail and Bend out.
Oh, right. Haven't done a lot of caching out that way yet, but definitely, I know I've got a list of, and I've got some friends up that way, so we'll get there one day.
I'm not exactly sure where it is, but I do know there is a GeoPet trail because we found it one time. But when I say we found it, we saw it on the map. We didn't go and find it, but we did talk about adding Maxie to that one time, didn't we?
Yeah, we got him in 2015, November.
Yeah.
So how long have you been caching for?
Well, we started... when my older brother's friend's dad introduced my dad to geocaching, and we started in January last year.
Yeah.
And we got a lot of caches around February and March.
Yep.
And we've really enjoyed it from the start because... especially in the school holidays, we find that we're a bit bored and we have nothing to do. So geocaching is good because it gets us out of the house a lot.
So you're pretty well addicted now?
Well, so. I was, but I've just... lately it's just been going around to odd caches with Dad.
Yeah,
my older brothers
I think I got the addiction.
Yeah.
The kids sometimes tag along with me. So, but it is good to get them off the devices. That's the main thing at the moment. They could be quite happy to sit at home and be on the devices all day, but geocaching gets them outside every now and then. So,
well, you could get them on there solving all the puzzles, so the next time you go out there.
Well,
that's on devices, though.
It's still on devices, yeah.
He spends more time on his iPad doing geocaches than before. You've spent more time on your devices now that you're doing geocaching than before.
It's true, because at night when the TV's on and we're just sitting at home and relaxing, that's usually the time the device comes out and have a look around and see if there's a new puzzle to solve or something like that.
But it is good. Jaden's sort of stopped doing it, my older brother.
How many finds would you have?
How many finds do I have, roughly?
Yeah.
Maybe 300?
Yeah, around that. Or probably a little bit more. I know...
I've found some, but I haven't logged them
yet.
Yeah,
you've got some that's still to log.
Yeah, he has a list of geocaches that I found, but haven't logged, because I was busy doing it.
And what about, are you actually doing this online souvenir thing, become a detective and go and find
that's why we're out today. Yeah. We wanted to get started.
That event, you became a detective if you didn't have that, but I assume you've already done that.
No, he hasn't got that.
I haven't got that one yet.
I have, but...
Yeah.
Oh, well, you log the event and that's your detective, so then it's...
then onto the clues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Footprints,
yeah.
Fingerprints and...
shadows.
Yeah.
When he said footprints and... he said fingerprints and shadows. And I was like, Dad, all geocaches have fingerprints and shadows on them.
I didn't really explain first up the virtualness of the clues very well.
I
thought just any cache that had fingerprints on it or had a shadow.
I went out with my daughter last Friday and, you know, we found the cache and I said, let's just find one and find out what this thing's all about. So it started off, we were finding one cache and going to a friend's place. Well, about 3 hours later, we rolled up at the friend's place after finding 8 caches.
All right.
Because the first one, we became the detective, and then we were told that, you know, you needed about 6 more finds.
Yep.
But it was selective, and we worked it out. It was about every third cache.
Yeah.
So we went to an area and concentrated on it. But one of the caches we found, someone had put a sandwich bag in it, and... And it was written up funny. It wasn't like Tom's Lunch, you know, room 5. It was a person's name and then rubber chicken sandwich. And, you know, my daughter thought that it was part of the competition and that was a clue we were collecting.
Rubber chicken Sam.
Yeah, I've got a photo. I should show it and so I know it word for word. But she thought, and I thought, nah, surely someone hasn't gone around and stuck clues. And even I was second guessing that, wow, is, you know, someone gone around and stuck clues in all the caches or...
Oh, that'd be a big job, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Every single cache that has a thing.
Yeah, but
And then you know that once you've done the next 6, and then there's like 35 more to find to finish it there.
Yep. And all the new ones get one too, so even if you... just caching for the new ones, they all get the a clue as well.
Yeah. I also really like doing caches in other states as well, just because it's like newer areas. We don't really know the area, so going to different caches.
Yeah.
It helps you understand the area a bit more.
We've planned a few holidays around caching. But then again, we've been to other places where there hasn't been too many caches and we've just went out and got them.
Yep.
We went to Thailand last year and did a couple caches, I think July last year, which was our first overseas souvenir. It was my first time overseas. It was his first time overseas as well.
Yep.
I'm not sure if you were here before when... talking about a bucket list, and me and my daughter added to the bucket list that if we were ever to win, you know, money, that we'd just find the most favourite cache and that's where the holiday would start.
Yeah.
That was in Berlin?
Yeah, I think that's what
that
was.
The one that Bill just showed us the photo of.
The giraffe.
The giraffe with the
giraffe,
Lego.
The Lego giraffe.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, that was...
I can imagine how frustrating it would be to...
look in every single little square.
So
what would be your favourite type of find, or you like them all, or...
I like...
like when I'm talking, you know, size or...
Oh, size. Just like a regular size. Like a small, like, sandwich container.
Yeah.
I don't know, like... that size.
Yeah, sometimes it's good to find things to swap inside them.
Yeah, so like I remember we found one that was just a big black box.
Yeah.
And there was another one that was in a tree trunk and you had to find a key for it. It was Gringotts.
Yeah. Gringotts
Bank.
Yeah, Gringotts Bank was in. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
One of the trackables attached with a key turned up at the Logcast back a few weeks ago to the Ryobi
Forest
cache. I went out and did that, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, once I've done it, I'll pass the key over to you. So he's now had the key, and we were talking about the back key.
Oh, the back key got you know, you put a watch list on some of these ones.
Yeah, and it's marked as missing or something.
Yeah, the owners of the back key updated just this week to missing, I saw. So I don't know if they'll put a new one out there or not. That was actually the second one they've already put out there for that cache.
Yeah.
So they might just say, no, it's enough, and archive the cache now. We don't know.
High maintenance cache.
And have you went and done any of the ones in Adelaide or South Australia with, like, what a high favourite points or something?
Yeah,
we did. We've got some with... They're not high favourite points compared to those overseas ones, but we've got done a couple with over 100.
Yeah.
Oh, like, yeah.
Did you bring a key along?
Yep.
Yeah.
That one's got over 100.
That
one. There's 3-2-1 blast off.
No, I haven't done that one yet.
No, we haven't done that
one. That's a really good one.
Yep.
And Astro La Vista, baby, that I really recommend that, and it's a little bit down on the list. I mean, Gawler Fort Knox, I think, is second on the list or something. We need Ben here. Ben's the one who normally has all the facts and figures. And
yep. Sort by favourite points.
Have you done Gawler Fort Knox? Or,
no, I haven't done that.
Oh, well, I won't say too much about that.
Because when we first started, we were trying to do a streak, and the streak went for 6 months. And you know, when you're trying to do a streak, you're not necessarily trying to do lots. You're just trying to do one a day.
We went through a little time, and I'd cash every chance I got, and I also had the job where I was driving around. So you have a break, you grab a cache.
Yep.
But then awesome.
Circumstances changed, and also to get my son to go out caching with me, it was a little bit harder. But then we decided to, let's just go for the ones with the favourite points, and that's what we were doing for a while.
Yep, so I'm just going to... Just got my device here, and the favouritest one that I'm not searching the full list of all the ones we've found. I'm just going into the online maps. But Moon Underwater, one of Fredo's, who was here before, is 131 favourite points. So we've got that one. And Go You Good Red Thing is the next one that comes up, which is 94 favourite points, which is also Fredo's.
Yeah.
And we did those two on the last souvenir challenge.
Oh, yeah.
There's also Under Pressure, but we haven't got that one.
No, actually, we haven't got Under Pressure, but we've looked at that one before. We might have to get that.
Where's that one?
That's, it's out
I've heard of that one
east
before.
Of the city.
I think we went there, we just didn't find
it.
Yep. And it's actually got another cache too, which is...
Ice Baby.
Ice Baby, yeah. That are both sort of a bit related.
Yeah, yes,
the
definitely.
Songs are very... They have
actually, and then once you've done either one of them, then there's quite a few other caches which are related to them.
Well, I reckon we've got Ice Baby now, because James went ice skating there a few weeks ago.
Oh, is that where it was?
Yeah.
Is that
case?
Actually,
I saw where it was, but there were too many people around.
Instead of saying anything, I'll just write something down. So we don't
sure
give any spoilers
to
away.
Yep.
And is that?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, we saw it.
And
we
for
saw
anyone,
it.
Anyone listening, instead of giving a spoiler and giving it away, I just wrote something down on a piece of paper and showed it to him just to see if that's what we all thought it was.
That's what we thought it was.
I was there a while ago, and he said, just check that, and I went, yes.
Yeah, so we saw that's where it was, but we couldn't actually get it and log it because there were too many people around.
Yeah, it was
whole
event.
That was the third time we'd been there looking for that one. It was puzzling us, and our friends as well. It's been puzzling them. I think they've been a few times as well. So I have told them that I know where it is. So because we've been there before together and logged DNFs together, I thought, well, when we do get it, we'll go back together.
Well, now we know exactly where it is. Now it's confirmed.
Well, we were right, yes.
if you get a couple of people just standing there and grab it, put it on the rubbish bin, and then all the other people around there are none the wiser, add your name to the log, and then just put it back.
Oh, it's outside of town. It's only 5 minutes away, really, so we can do it, you know.
Yeah.
One time when there are no people around. It won't be
there. Oh, I don't know. It's hard, like, to get
very
that
popular.
Spot. Oh, nah, it'll be all right.
I thought that place was closing down, but apparently not.
No, I don't know. I haven't heard that. Yeah. So we're gonna go and get some clues now, aren't we?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's your favourite thing that we've done in caching? What do you enjoy most about it? Getting some overseas was good, wasn't it?
Yeah. I really enjoyed that multi that we got first to find.
Oh, yes. One of Kayshaw checks.
Yep.
And it was when... It was around last April, I think, and James...
Something old stinky.
Yeah. I'll see if I can find,
It was a really good cache.
Tell people what name it is.
There was a lot more stages than I thought it was, and there's certain tools that are hidden around the place that you need to use to collect the final cache.
Nochmere Alti Stinkende.
Yeah. That actually replaced another one. I've done that one.
So yeah, we got first to find, which was nice.
So we were brand new premium members at that time. It's a few months after we joined up the basic membership, and we upgraded James's membership, and we went to we just got a notification. It was on a Friday night. I said to James, "Oh, do you want to go and try to?" Because I'd set up the notifications, and we said, "Let's go and see if we can get this cache." And we went, and it was really good, because it was, a field puzzle. You had to find the things to get to the final.
Yeah,
There's lots of tools.
Made it really fun. So
we were doing that, and one of the tools you use, it had been bent, so I tried straightening it, and that's the type of thing that once it bends and straightens, it becomes very weak. And it broke, and I think I sent a message to say that it didn't snap, but it was bendy, so we had to throw it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a very surprising end cache for that one.
Yeah.
Had to use this massive bar to get it.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, it was a really good cache, and once we finished, we went out to log it, and then we put it back, and we started driving the car, and we see lights behind us, and we're like, someone else has come to get the first to find, but we've just beaten them.
We
hurry to log the cache so that they can't get first to find.
Yeah, because we didn't even know then that, you claim the first. We thought it was, you had to log it on the device as well, on the page as well. But, we know now that, of course, if your name's in the book first, you're first.
Yep.
Doesn't matter if you log it later, but it's always good. I think it's always good if you do make it first. I found one the other day on a Bob from Elsewhere cache. I was there first, and I put a little note on straight away, and then go back and fix it up later.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, that was 24th of April last year we found that one.
Yeah, it was a really good cache.
Yeah. And Maddie Cat arrived there just after we had, and we know it was him. So
he's been pretty hot on getting first to finds on a lot of caches, and does some caching at rather strange hours.
Yeah.
It was very late at night when we did that one. We'd just been at home for a while, and we saw it published, and I was like, oh, fine.
We just finished dinner. It might have been a little bit later than that.
Yeah, it was 5 minutes after dinner. And we were like, chop chop cheerio, let's go get this cache.
So it was, I might have put the time in that we found it, but it was a little bit scary in that area.
Yeah, that's a rather strange area.
Yeah, we weren't too sure about it, but we really wanted to do it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't put a time in. It was definitely late on a Friday night, though.
Yeah, it was a really fun cache. that I think everyone
was. Oh, actually, it was. I said here it was published when I was at work. We went home and had dinner, and it still hadn't been logged, so we went and had a go. And got it.
Actually, you're saying about a scary cache. There's quite a fun, simple cache. It's probably only about a kilometre away from here. I'll grab my phone and find it for you. And it's just the park and the atmosphere. You park the car and you walk down to find this cache, and other people have commented, and you know, I know this area fairly well. I've worked in this area for quite a while, and I remember going and looking at the cache and sort of like thinking, oh, I'm glad it's the middle of the day, not late at night or something.
Yeah, well, Bridge was telling me the other day that he found one around here at night. It was backed onto the railway station, railway lines or something like that, that he was a bit nervous about finding after one of the log casts, so yeah. No, it's good. Well, I reckon my favourite, all of my favourite days caching are when I'm out with the kids. So we did one of the On This Day power trails. It was just me and James going along.
It was March.
In Manham, we near did, Manham. That was good.
We did the March one.
It was, oh yeah, the March On This Day.
Mm.
From Lib's power trail. And we did all the Harry Potter caches up in the hills.
Oh yeah,
that
those
was a good,
are good
day too, because a few favourite points on those, and some different cache containers and different things inside the cache on the theme, so they were really good.
Yeah, and we also did that one near a lake somewhere, but the lake was all dried up, so we could just easily walk into it.
Oh yeah, that was because I've been trying to fill the DT grid as well, so
yep.
Every now and then we do that, and we did find, didn't we, that there's a couple that are high DTs because, you know, they've got water to get across.
Yeah.
But if you wait till January
up.
And February,
yep.
You can walk across.
Yeah. I've actually done
that.
A couple of them as well.
That was sort of recent, a couple months back.
Yeah, it was out this way somewhere too.
Yeah, it was in February this year.
Yeah, on the Parawira Creek or something.
Yeah, it was meant to be hard, but when it's all dried up, you can just walk across. It's so much easier.
Yeah, we still had to walk a fair way to get to it, but
yeah,
those ones where we're out hiking in, you know, the scrub and stuff like that, they're the ones we've enjoyed most.
Yeah.
I did one of them, you know, which was dried up, but I worked out that once you start walking, you couldn't stop. So you had to just keep going. As soon as you stop, you'd sink in the mud.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I was thinking, well, I'm doing this by myself. I hope I don't get stuck in the middle here, or I'm going to be on the news, you know. Like, I'll be ringing up, someone come and get me. I'm stuck in the mud.
No, well, we usually, those ones that I think will be fun, I usually don't go by myself. I wait till take James with me.
You did an abseiling one.
Oh, I did do the abseiling ones too. I thought I didn't take you to those ones because I thought maybe you were a bit too little for that.
I don't really like abseiling.
When you're bigger, you can do those ones.
I don't really care.
All right, we better go and find a couple.
Yeah.
Get some of those clues.
Yeah.
So, thank you.
No worries.
Thanks.
It's really his.
But we get caches coming. We've just had a heap of Germans through the place.
Mm.
Two or three lots of Germans wandering through, and two lots of Americans.
Well, I met a German at my event in Cologne, whose cache name is Long Tom Silver, and I'm thinking, yeah, you look, you know, I've seen you somewhere before.
He was here,
and he hasn't been. I don't know if he's been here, but we were talking about things, and there's a mountain bike virtual in Cologne, which is the first case that was hidden in Cologne from 2002 or three, I think. And he asked me about that, and then he said something about mountain bike, and I said, oh yeah, you know, because I have my book with all the, for the event, went back and said, here's, you know, that's his signature from attending an event. And then he said, oh yeah, no, I last saw him at the Cincinnati Digger. I said, oh, I was there too. You know, 5,000 other people, it's not surprising. And then I thought about it afterwards, after the whole thing finished, and he'd sent me a message about some stuff, and I sent a message back and said, when you were at the gig, when you met up with Mountain Bike, was that at this particular place? Because I had talked to John, gone off to do something else, and then come back to talk to John, and just as I was got to him, this, you know, large guy in a sort of brightly coloured shirt ran up and, oh, John, how you going, brother? With a bit of a German accent. And I thought, in retrospect, it was this guy. Because he then sent me a photograph of him with John. And I'm in the background of the photograph.
Walking.
And I said, actually, I think we met. I think you were pretty focused on
John Stanley.
On John Stanley at the time, and swapping some trackables.
And trying to get 001 out of him.
That's
so
that right.
You could say, yes,
yeah,
I've seen 001.
Yeah.
I can log it.
There's a challenge case in Europe for have you found a mountain bike trackable? Have you found a mountain bike geocoin?
Yeah, in the hands of mountain bikes.
Yeah, not hard
the very first one.
That's right. Yeah.
Yes, the one that he carries.
Yeah. The different. The thing I noticed this time about the hides in Europe were there's a lot more nanos than I'm used to. There's a lot of film canisters.
Yeah, a lot of film canisters.
With, you know, a torn piece of paper stuck inside it.
Oh, okay. What I found is that they will do a film canister, but they will have an A4 sheet cut into strips and then wound, and it's got a space for like 300 logs on it, you know.
Okay.
Enormous. And then that
was... Oh, you know, yes, I found a few like that.
And it'll be spiral wound.
Yeah. I saw a few like that as well.
But
yeah.
The other thing I was found in Venice was a bag of names, I was calling them. It was a throwdown, but it'd be a plastic bag with a few scraps of paper in it that somebody else had put a scrap of paper in it. And,
there were a couple of places I found two caches.
Yeah.
There's
another one. I wonder which one's the first one.
Yeah, I was finding both.
Yeah.
There was one in, I don't know where the last one was. Some bell tower in Amiens, that's right.
And did you find the one at the other end of the Charles Bridge in Prague?
Yeah.
That only 35,000 people have found.
Yeah. You go down, it's the one that's in the hole, where you go, it's a bit of the hole, that's where it is.
It's
and that's, again, was a...
Film canister. Yeah, it's the world's most found cache.
And you go, this should be really exciting. And you go, no, not really. And the log in it's like got 10 names on it, because it's, you know, it was changed an hour ago.
Yeah, it's got, I don't know, how many finds has it got now?
It's got a lot, 30-something thousand.
Yeah, I found it when it had 20,000 finds, and it's...
So the most found cache, the most favourited cache, which was the...
That's the one in Berlin.
The Lego one, but there was quite a few others that are 2,000, 3,000, 4,000.
Yeah. Well, the...
Favourites.
The second most found cache is also in Prague. It's at a fountain on the other side of the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, so... I think
I was trying to get seven or eight different types in each country if I could.
Prague, these are old caches. These are caches that have survived from, I don't know that they're 2001 caches, but they're sort of early 2000s caches, and then obviously lots of tourists will wander through Prague, and then the Czechs are actually a keen caching.
Well, I had 28 people turn up to my event in Prague. I had 4 at my event in Cologne and 5 at the event, for the Budapest event. So, Prague, there were lots.
Is there timing to that? Cause
No, all of them were probably reasonable times.
So they're all lunch?
No, the Prague one was actually 5 o'clock, end of the day.
Yeah, I reckon.
That was okay. It was in a little... sort of green area in the middle of the CBD, and about half the people turned up and said, well, this is a really cute little park. I didn't know it was here.
And they were locals?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that was where I met I'd had a brief conversation with someone who said they'd definitely come along, and something about the log, I was thinking, oh, that's interesting. I'll just go and check the profile, and this is the person that had like a million T5s. Maybe not a million T5s, but like 2,500 T5s.
Okay.
And 2,500 T5s out of 6,000 finds. You know, it's like,
okay.
You know, and I go, this is someone who's seriously into climbing trees or something like that. and obviously keen on T5. So I've sort of, you know, expecting Philip to turn up. Did I send you a photograph?
Yeah, you
sent
a photo.
I expected some gorilla to turn up.
Or somebody who looks like Marcus Vitruvius.
That's right, yeah. He's all muscles in places most people don't even have places.
Yeah.
And it was a, you know, 23-year-old, very attractive girl wearing a dress and looking like, you know, she'd struggled to take three steps up a hill. And obviously she knows how to...
Up a rope on a tree like a rocket.
That's right, she's...
There might be an advantage to only weighing 45 kilos.
Yeah, that might be part of it.
Yeah.
That might be part of it.
Maybe she does aerial acrobatics or something whatever like that. Yeah. So that's just training, go and get a T5 cash.
Well, she says she's self-taught. She and her boyfriend apparently go out and...
Throw ropes over
things, and they do, you know, kayak cases. She says in winter you can get to a lot of T5s by just walking, because of the ice.
When it goes frozen,
you just walk across.
Oh, that makes a T5.
Going back to your holding events in different parts of the world, like what research of like for the place to hold it? Is it recommended by someone, or you just?
So the things I've done, Monty will possibly have a different view. He got permission from the Pope for one of his in the Vatican City. He logged a little tent. What I tend to do is look for a place where other people have had events. So I look at the other people who've had events there and try and find somewhere that's A, going to be close to where I'm staying, B, isn't going to go on for too long or whatever, but it looks like other people have had events. Maybe looks like locals have had events there rather than another lot of tourists. Or, you know, I had one in Venice, so I had it in St Mark's Square on the grounds that everyone knows where St Mark's Square is.
Yeah.
The locals may not find it that easy to get to because no one lives in Venice.
Mm. I've done lunchtime events in foreign places, and I think it's actually... If you want to meet locals, it's not the right way because the locals are working.
Mm.
So unless you do a lunchtime event on a weekend, if you do a lunchtime event on a weekday, you'll get whoever the local tourists are and the local geocacher who's only working 100 metres away, which you're not going to get there. Whereas if you have an evening event, you get an opportunity for the local caches to come into the area where you are. That's why I asked Bill whether, you know, the biggest one he had was the 5 o'clock one. I think that
it was 5:50. I ran it from 5 to 5:30, but made a comment, if that's a problem, let me know.
Yeah.
A couple of people said, I don't finish work till 5:15, I might struggle to get there by 5:30. I said, that's fine, I'll push it out a bit further, make it 5:45, and I probably won't leave till 6 if there are people there. So most people, there were a couple of people who arrived after 5:30, but one of the other issues is you get there and the same thing happens as when you're a German person coming to Adelaide. All the locals stand around and talk in their own language about geocaching, so they're all standing there talking in Czech about geocaching, and I'm going smiling on the side.
That's right, it works.
There's always one or two people who'll take pity on the person who's actually organised the event. And the other thing is that the Europeans seem to have a different view about trackables to the Americans or even Australians. So trackables in Europe, they look after them very well. They're all keen on them. Trackables in the US disappear more often than trackables in Europe, I think. I've got a trackable, our first ever trackable, which got lost for a while, reappeared in Europe, and I get logs every week now as it sort of wandering around in somewhere in Germany. I thought vaguely about trying to find it when I was in Germany, but so I put in the things, I'll have some trackables that have come from Australia. And so I had a lot of people turn up with handfuls of trackables saying, you know, can we swap, can we do this, can we do that?
If the caches are only film canisters and nano caches, you don't have opportunity to...
Come in
to
and sit down if you want.
Events are where the caches...
And just say hello as you walk by. We're all pretty casual about this.
Yeah, I think that's why the trackables... I've got a couple of trackables floating around Europe and they only seem to appear in events. So, that follows, somebody has them and then they'll pop out. Yeah.
I've got a couple that were in gigas and megas, and you know, you suddenly get about 5,000 people logging in. Maybe not 5,000, but you get a lot of people logging in. That may have attracted more people. The one I had in Cologne, I put on in the morning, because originally I was going to have it at 5 o'clock at night, and then they had some issue with the locks. Anyway, our boat was sailing at 3:15. That got rid of the 5 o'clock one.
Yeah.
So I then said, look, it's either have to be. I then put a note on the page for the people who said they were coming. So it's either have to be 8 o'clock in the morning, or you know, I can possibly do a, you know, midday. Which would you, you know, does anyone have a preference? And in fact, they came back and said it was midday, so I ended up having it midday, and four teams turned up.
The weather can be problematic.
Yeah.
You want to... I had an event in London at Lincoln Inn Field, and I chose the location because in street view I could see it had like a gazebo.
Yep.
And the day of the event occurred and it was raining in London. It was just, the sky was dribbling all day. So fortunately the area where I'd chosen to have this event had cover, and we stood under there with all the other locals who were eating their lunch, and also somebody who was a Tai Chi group who were doing Tai Chi. So if you got bored with talking about geocaches,
I did the same thing. All the overseas events I've had have always been somewhere where there's some cover, either because of the sun or because of the rain or because of just a chance to sit down.
This one didn't have anywhere to sit. All the sit down areas were out in the rain.
Yeah,
all the chairs were sort of around the fence line of the park. But
because me and my daughter have added to our bucket list and realised if we ever won, you know, like the big Powerball on the weekend,
Did you win $38 million yesterday?
No,
wasn't you?
So what we've decided and added to the bucket list, that we just look up where the most favourite cache is, and that's where we'd start by taking our trip. And well, the trip would involve
that's Berlin,
just going around most looking favorite, for favourite caches.
Yeah,
and then maybe why not? Let's hold an event.
I don't know what number two is.
I think it's about 8 of the top 10 are in Germany, I think.
Oh, okay, all right.
That's not surprising. There's so many people there.
The place for geocaching.
And they tend to... I mean, they do good caches. I mean, Sally did one for me in Maastricht, and it's a kitchenware shop in a building that used to be a bank, and in the basement is the safe, and the safe's got all these safety deposits boxes around. One of the safety deposit boxes, and there's about probably about at least 200, maybe 500 of these boxes in there. One of them is the geocache. So,
and has it got a GC in front of the number?
No, the hint is the
that's the most favourite location
building number.
Oh, wow,
it's got a photo of the most favourite location in the world.
That's
it's see a spoiler. It's
one of the bricks.
Not
gonna
spoil it for
one
anyone.
Of the bricks.
I'm not going to tell you which one.
That's the Lego one, is it?
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you which brick.
Because you can't remember. It's one.
Sorry, it's that brick. Will that help you?
Yeah. Just look for that brick when you get
there. It's not a brick. It's hidden in the centre. It's small.
Yes.
I was just going to say, approximately what size is that Lego brick that we're talking about?
2x2.
It's one centimetre by one centimetre.
I reckon I spent 20 minutes there with two guys from Hanover.
Yeah.
Who, one of them spoke a bit of English and the other one spoke no English whatsoever. And we just kept pulling bits off.
Yeah.
And I did actually, trying to pull bits off. Until we got the bit.
That's a challenge cache in Dresden. Can you see the cache?
No. Is it a long way up there?
Keep looking up the tree. You might want to try and expand it.
Once again, that's a tree location.
Yeah, then we can see it.
Yeah.
You can climb that.
Climb like vines?
Yeah. Do you lower it down?
No.
Okay.
There's another tree next to it, so you actually go up between the two trees. And then what you do is you reach across and you grab the cache, and then you slip, and as you fall, the rope snaps, and then you concentrate on landing. And then you have to work out, now what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to sign the log, and I'm going to put it back between the two, between two trees, and I'm going to send a message to the CEO saying, sorry.
There you go. Damn.
Did you go to get one, and it was hanging from a tree, but there was a fence in between or something, and it was a low terrain rating?
That was one in Amsterdam, not in Amsterdam, in Brussels.
There was the one on the lake inlet. I logged a DNF for the one that he logged as a find. He showed me a picture of him standing on this limb. I wasn't going out there.
Well, I said to Mary, oh, this is an unusual DT round. We'll just go back past this. And we got there, and I thought, there's no way she's going to let me go and do this. And there were three locals just happened to be standing there. And I thought I had to push past them, and so I started to push past them. I said, in case you're wondering, I'm doing a thing called geocaching. What's that? And we had a discussion about it, and then so they stood there and watched while I clambered out, and that's the one. That was the T1.5,
yeah,
in Brussels.
Well, that's a long way out.
Yeah. And that fence, which is goes all the way around, it's a wooden fence, and there's a sign saying, keep out, closed, bugger off. So first of all, you have to climb the fence, then it's on the slope. Probably from the other side, it's not as bad as it looks, but I just went, I walked around it twice and then went,
no,
I really don't need a it was a D2 T1.5, and I thought, I don't need that.
And telescopic letters add too much to baggage weight.
I'm just not. I'm not playing that game. That's for sure. But there were three really good. There were three really good Werigos over there, in Brussels. Comic Werigos, because Brussels is sort of the headquarters of comics, of a lot of comics. Tintin, the Smurfs. That's a virtual where you got to count how many Smurfs there are. 66 Smurfs on the roof of this thing, and then take a photograph of yourself with the giant white Smurf.
Send that to KB.
Yeah.
She's a Smurf,
is she?
Yeah, she's a Smurf.
But the Werigos were really very clever, because what you did is you had a problem, and you go around the city, and everywhere you go, there's a mural of Asterix and Obelix, or a mural of Tintin, and he'd weave those into the story. And it was, they were quite good fun. And the hides were just excellent. The last one I did, you had to find a QR code at one of the locations. I couldn't. You've got a 15-digit string of letters at one stage by doing something in the Werigo. Then you had to find a QR code which gave you a 15-digit string of numbers. And you had to put the two together to get a code word which you had 15 minutes to enter into the Werigo. And I was having a bad brain thing, and I couldn't work it out. Without entering it, you still get the final, but you don't get the spoiler. So there's a spoiler photograph. And so I thought, I had the spoiler. And basically somewhere along that fence line, there was a cache.
There's a lot of steel.
There's a lot of bolts.
Is it a micro?
It's a nano, that one.
Oh, God.
Is it in a bowl?
In the bottom, up one of those tubes, God knows.
So many places it could be.
Yeah.
And
I need to want to do this, Cash.
See how that's...
That bowl came off.
Yeah, go back one from there.
Okay.
It's a magnet on the bottom.
Yeah.
And go back one again.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, that's pretty.
And there's a little nano thing inside.
But if you'd had the spoiler.
The spoiler showed you a photograph of that.
Yeah.
Because I after I found it, I sent him a message, sent the CEO a message, said I couldn't work out the spoiler. I couldn't work out how to put the two together. And he told me, I went, I'm a complete idiot, because it was pretty obvious.
Because you were overthinking it?
Yeah, I was overthinking it. Oh, no, well, it wasn't. And that was the QR code, which was hidden. Oh, it was just not the easiest spot. Because the QR code was somewhere near this structure.
QR code inside a Werigo's,
yeah,
no idea.
That was part of the, you had to find the QR code in the, well, so you can't just...
Would that trigger in the Werrigo?
Well, the Werrigo wanted, well, the Werrigo wanted information from the QR code for you to be able to continue.
Yeah.
And it was on a timer, and while I was farting around trying to get it, I found the QR code, and then, so I've got a 15 random string of characters, and then I've got a QR code, and I'm expecting to be able to put things in order or whatever. And it starts off 54000120306 0. That's the 13 digit string. And I went, I'm not quite sure what to do with all the zeros. What I failed to work out was that all the digits I had were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. All I had to do was just put the six letters in order, and then that gave me the name, which was the old name of that particular suburb. And if I put that in, I'd get the spoiler.
Yeah.
But it says when you don't get the spoiler, or when you don't get that in, it says it's okay, the time's up. You've solved everything else, so you can have the final, but you're not getting the spoiler because you didn't solve the last bit.
Okay, that's all right.
So I was quite chuffed with their ones. And there was a another good hide too, which was a end of a letterbox. I think I took photos on the other phone. I've only got photos of it open. So basically it was a big pole, and you pulled this bit up in the middle. That was,
oh yes, this was in Prague.
No, that's in Brussels, this one.
Oh, there's a similar one in Prague.
Yeah. And it's got a big stamp and a, you know.
Yeah, so you get there and you go, well, it's got to be this thing, but you actually got to pull a piece of wood out that lets another piece of wood slide down, and then the cache is inside the hollow column of the post.
Yeah.
A bit like the odd one out at Mawson's Lake.
Or the, a bit like that. There's one I did in Prague that, when you solve the puzzle, it gives you, it says, yeah, you've got the correct coordinates, and it says Christopher Columbus. And that's the hint in the spoiler, in the geochecker. And when you arrive at GZ, you're looking for a regular cache on a street corner in the middle of Prague, and there's nothing there except for an electrical box.
This is the one up right by the...
it's by the
some giant building.
Yeah, the law faculty. And it's got a combination lock on it.
Yeah.
So you put 1492 in, and you open it up, and it's an electrical box that still looks pretty light, but it's not. and those electrical boxes have an inspection sheet taped to the to the door. That's the log.
Yeah.
It's very clever.
Yeah.
There's another one in Prague that, I don't know if it was a puzzle or a trad, but you go there and it's a post box and it's locked. And I think the hint might have said behind or whatever. Anyway, I looked behind it and the key's behind it, and that unlocks the...
Yeah, I think I did that one.
And that's got like 4,000 favourites.
Yeah.
It's just, it must be a traditional because it's...
Too many,
If you've got puzzles that are really good, they're still not going to end up with 10,000 favourites.
No.
A traditional will do that.
Yeah,
I better go too.
Yep.
All right.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
No worries.